Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, and with me this week, as he is thankfully every single week, is my brother, my friend, and my traveling companion, Elliot McNally. Elliot, is it just me or is it a little cold out here?
It is a little cold out here, and Vince, I don't know about you, but have you gotten your sea legs yet?
No, I actually have to crawl around and all on my hands and knees to get anywhere.
Once you get acclimated and you can be a bipedal human again, it's all right. But it took me a little while to get acclimated out here.
The locals have reminded us that since this town is inland and, haven't spent any actual time on a boat, that it's strange for us to be experiencing this, but...
Yeah, guys, we are in a town unlike any town we've ever been in, and it's really a first for the McNally family, because as you might recall, Vince, our great-great-grandfather did not like boats, he did not like the ocean, he didn't like water, he refused to drink water.
True, he's actually the guy who came up with the idea to put dragons, like, sort of out in the oceans to make you think that there wasn't anything past that point in the sea.
Yeah, all his maps had many dragons all in the ocean. Sometimes there would be dragons inland if it was a town that he had some sort of a beef with or he didn't want people to go in either.
And there's also a dragon where there were actual dragons.
Yeah, some people think that's like a misprint in your map if there's double dragons, but it's true. He would just find the dragons and then mark them. But that's another reason why he just refused to be in the ocean. So, Vince, I think it's great for us to trudge forward and really make a name for the McNally family as more than just a terrestrial-based family.
You know, I think it was Paul Revere that said, one if by land and two if by sea. And I think in many ways that was about you and I.
I think so too. And with that, Vince, I think we should put this amazing town on the map.
Couldn't agree more, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative Rand McNally pushpins and get ready to stick a pin in Starboard, Alaska. And as Vince and I have alluded to, Starboard, Alaska isn't exactly on land. It's an actual Deadliest Catch fishing vessel that Alaska incorporated as a town.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. So we actually have been at sea, Elliot.
Yeah, I don't know what you were talking about. I just sort of glossed over that fact. But I think that's a testament to you just becoming more acclimated than I thought you were.
Perhaps I had my sea legs all along, Elliot.
Mm-hmm. One if by land and two if by sea, is just as you said.
Well, Elliot, I don't think we should introduce this town alone.
I don't think so either. So, listeners, whereas you might be sticking the pin in your map alone or with the friends that I assume you are listening to this with, we have a couple friends to do that for us. We have a couple crab fishermen who are living in Starboard, Alaska right now. Would you guys introduce yourselves?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. You are?
I am Sanjay Pradeep.
Sanjay Pradeep. And your friend here, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Sanjay Pradeep. I'm his younger brother, Suresh.
Sanjay and Suresh, thank you so much for being here. And can I venture a guess and say you're actually not locals of Starboard, Alaska?
No. We are from Bombay, India.
So you've come a long way, just like us. You're travelers who've landed here, landed on this boat that is a town. What has brought you all the way to Starboard, guys?
Yes, it is quite an interesting journey. We have come all the way from India to Alaska, a great a village, pure beauty, beautiful image of America. We have come in search of a true American experience.
Wow, and I would think that you would definitely get that American experience on this fishing vessel in Starboard, Alaska. Fishing is something that made this country great, so how are you guys enjoying it?
Yes, my older brother is very humble. He forgets to mention we are working on our fourth studio album. A bit popular where we come from, and we've been working to create that rich American sound. And we have been watching a lot of American television, such as Deadliest Catch. We thought to become fishermen to understand the experience. And it's hard work, but we've been very enriched and very fulfilled with the experience. We enjoyed very much.
So you guys have a band back in India. What is it called?
Yes, Suresh and I have a band. It is called The Deep Pradeeps. And it is known because we have very low voices for the Bollywood sound, much lower than you would normally expect in a Bollywood genre. We have very deep voices.
We have very influenced from Gregorian chants and other such bass guitar, Flea, Red Hot Chili Peppers, things like that.
Wow. So, Elliot, I don't know about you, but I didn't know that I would be brushing shoulders with Indian pop royalty when we got on this vessel. Quite a surprise. And, you know, there's going to be plenty to talk about, not only about your forthcoming studio album, and what's that called again, for those who might be putting it on their iTunes wish list?
It is called The Sound of the Cries of the Children of the Wild.
It's somewhat of a working title, but we're sort of working through that. And Vince, if I could say, just to ensure that our legal team not come down on us, the album will not be on iTunes or available really to anyone in America. But I still hope that you follow us on Twitter at The Deep Pradeeps.
We have been very, very inspired by the Swift, the Taylor Swift of America. Yes. She said, I will not put my music out for anyone to listen to. And exactly. And we said, yes, we agree. No one should ever listen to our music, ever.
She really said she didn't want anyone to listen to her
music? I don't know the details. I cannot read English very well, but I don't know the details. I just saw Taylor Swift music. No, I don't know.
So is it true that you guys are going to be publishing your album in 15-second increments in audio clips on Twitter then?
That is 100% correct. Much like Taylor Swift, we try to innovate with what we create, and for us it's all about the music. It's not about distribution. We don't like to get tied down with these kinds of things. My brother Sanjay is an acclaimed writer and poet. I'm lucky enough to work with him, but we generally really just want to innovate with our creations.
Wow. Well, that's something we can certainly get behind. I have a copy of a magazine called The Starboard Songs of the Sea. It's sort of a Rolling Stone published right here in Starboard, and it says, you know, welcome aboard to people who are changing the way we think about music. And there's a picture of you and your brother, and you have two Alaskan king crabs on your head, sort of worn like a hat, and you're singing into lobster claws.
Yes, that was mainly from the direction of the magazine producer. We do not like to insult the king crab with creating a vocal device from the king crab. It is a very delicious fish. Have you had a king crab? Have you had that?
Yeah.
Since you're right.
I have. I had. I'm
vegan.
So Elliot was only able to lick the shells to get seawater into his...
The shell is said to have magical powers, especially coming from... the traditional the Indian culture, we believe very much that the king crab leg is it brings power and gives vitality to the men.
Yes, exactly. And again, our legal team is in talks with the magazine about this heinous depiction of the microphone. It's very upsetting to us. We're tied down with legal fees, etc. We wish to be free of these kinds of problems, but we're working through it. And again, we hope to speak to the world through our music and not through the legs of crustaceans.
And speak through our lawyers. We have found that our lawyers are probably the most important people we know in America so far.
And speaking of speaking, Vince, I think we have a perfect segment to transition to.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot. It's called Say What?
Listeners, as you know, Say What is our investigation into a town's argot, its patois, its local vernacular. We like to speak to the locals about how locals speak.
Absolutely, Elliot. Now, you two have a very unique perspective, I imagine. Not only are you not native English speakers, but you're not natives here in Star Wars. So you must have gone through something very akin to what Elliot and myself are going through on our visit. What were some of the phrases that jumped out at you as not even appearing in your Learn to English handbooks?
I know Suresh has a few of his favorites, but mine is watch out for that fish! That's my favorite one. And, oh, that's a big one! That's also my favorite.
Those are great. As you can imagine, the fishing boats, it's very dangerous. We try to capture the biggest creatures that we can. Mm-hmm. Oh, watch out for that fish! This is a classic as well. I was going to say that. How dare you steal that from me, Sanjay? But I agree. I tend to agree.
There is a very beautiful one which you invoke with intimate company. You say you look into the eyes of the person and you say, oh, your eyes are like scales of the fish. Depending on the quality of the fish, that can be a compliment or insult. But
do you have to specify which fish's scales you're referring to then?
No, it is in the inflection of the voice that they know what fish it is.
Sure.
I see. And so you're saying something along the lines of your eyes, they look like the scales of a fish? Would that sort of be suggested?
It would be very insulting.
Yes, I would very much like to slap you after you said
so
that.
So that's more like a mackerel or like a sort of a sardine type move.
But if you're like, your eyes are like the scales of a fish, then it's more like a swordfish or...
Wonderful.
Suresh, you just got very close to me.
I am very, very flattered. We are very flattered.
These are the kinds of compliments we should wish to receive for our new album.
Ideally, we release the album, we tweet all 15 songs, probably only 30 seconds long each, and we get tweets back. We wake up in the morning, my eyes are very foggy and heavy in the morning. I wake up, I cannot see my phone. I bring it to my face. I look, they say, this song is like Scales of the Fish.
And the next thing we know, we're on a flight back to Mumbai doing a concert with Snoop Doggy Dogg.
So, to clarify, Snoop Doggy Dogg is what our friend Snoop Dogg goes by when he's traveling through India.
I did not. That's the only name, Sanjay, I believe we know him by.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, I stand corrected. I'm already being, you know, educated, illuminated. I haven't heard these myself. It makes me feel a little bit lonely, Elliot, actually.
Something I was wondering is that a lot of times we find that we go to places and phrases and words are lost in translation, and I'm sure that happens tenfold for you guys, but I'm sure there's some overlap, maybe some Indian phrases that end up meaning the same thing in Starboard Alaska.
Yes. For example, in Hindi, we have a phrase that roughly translates to, I'm going to put your feet in the concrete and drop you into the ocean. And since arriving and since performing
dark,
our song, yes, we have heard that too. People say, I'm going to put your feet in concrete and I'm going to throw you overboard. And we know they are joking, right? But, you know, we still perform our songs.
It's hard to understand, but somebody said that to us after we showed them one of our songs we were working on, but we feel there was some kind of, as you mentioned, misunderstanding in the translation of the phrase, because surely we've never known anybody to dislike our music.
Well, you know, irony is very popular here in the United States right now, so you might have encountered a little bit of that.
Yes, I would like to know more about this irony, because the first night, Suresh and I, we are on the boat, we are sleeping, we arrive on the boat, all the crew member, they don't talk to us. They don't even shake our hands. They don't talk to us. And in the middle of the night, we finally break through. They come into our room and they turn on the lights and we are tied up and we say, finally, you embrace us. But
they embrace us finally.
Were you guys tied up before they came in the room?
We woke up with our hands bound.
We were tied up when we awoke. And they finally embraced us,
Yes. Because in India, we would think, oh, you're trying to kill us. But Americans are
not here.
Not here. Too nice.
Never here.
Is it true that they lowered you? It is almost a hazing ritual. They lowered you into the ocean and tried to use you as bait?
Certainly, but I think the term you use, hazing ritual, is improper here because we feel that this is an integration. They felt to welcome us this way, and we felt appreciative and most thankful for it.
And we repaid them in full by giving the blessed crab legs, putting them into the beds, boatloads into the beds.
And Sanjay, don't forget our late night drum solos.
Sure
to captivate them as they slept.
Well, it sounds like you guys have taken what could have been a sort of clashing of the cultures and really mixed and matched it into something beautiful. I thought I was just going to learn about a little bit of lexicon and phraseology, but I learned a lot about American culture. And I hope we can learn a lot more together in this next segment.
That's called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, this is your weekly opportunity to write in with your specific questions, queries, and concerns about the show and get to ask our guests something personal. We have time to read three on the air each and every week. And Suresh, it looks like you have the first one in front of you.
Wonderful, I'm prepared.
Would you like to read it for us?
Oh, yes. I'm new to using Gmail.
Suresh, before you read it, could you? I think you should read it in the tone of one of our songs. Sing the words with your beautiful
voice. This is a fantastic idea.
Sanjay, you old sailor, you know I only do the harmonies, but I will try my best to do a bit of singing here.
Well, peering over your shoulder, it looks like this letter is very lyrically written. There's even music notes above each word. So I think you shouldn't have a problem.
I see as I read the question, a reference I'm not familiar with, which is just fine, but I will sing it anyways, if that's all the same to you, Vince and Alex.
Oh, yes, sure. Of course.
What is your favorite episode of the new Gilmore Girls reboot? I don't, unfortunately, know the reference, but I appreciate your question, and I'm sure they are all great episodes.
You know, Vince and I have been pretty busy, and we haven't gotten to partake in the antics of Rory and Lorelai yet. But again, I'm sure they're great too.
Yeah, thanks for writing. Who was that, Suresh?
That was from Tim Bradshaw / Carrie Bradshaw's son, 2015. Thank you for your question.
Thank you. Thanks for emailing in. And, you know, that's a good point. I'm glad you bring this up. You don't always have to write us letters. We love, you know, the authenticity and the tactile feel of opening real mail. But tweets, Instagrams, emails, these are all ways that you can reach the show. And we'll read those on air.
I am just doing a quick Wikipedia search right now, and it seems like episode 3, Rory and Lorelai end up on a fishing boat. So that's kind of strange.
Very relevant. It's coming together. It makes sense now.
I think it's safe to say that most American feel-good sitcoms have at least one or two story arcs that take place on a North Atlantic fishing vessel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the whole season of The Partridge Family, where they went on the fishing boat. There was that story arc in Friends where I think Chandler owned a fishing boat.
I think it's actually Joey who owns the fishing boat, and then Rachel teaches him.
It was Joey. All of the American sitcoms are very dear to Sanjay and I, and these are huge parts of why we join these fishing vessels to learn about American culture.
Well, let's learn a little something from one of our listeners here. Elliot, do you have the second question for us?
I do. Guys, this one comes from Ronald in Garvey, Montana.
Interesting. Thanks for writing in. We don't get many Montanans writing in.
We don't. So I'm excited to read this one. He says, guys, I am so excited that you're in Starboard, Alaska. I've actually been writing into you since episode 1, hoping that you would get there and threatening to kill myself if you didn't, so I'm really glad you're there now.
That's all true. Now that I read his name, it sparks a memory of many long conversations with our legal team in Xander about the implications of what they call fan martyrdom.
Yeah, it's like, do we have to go there? What if we do go there? Well, you know, I've already begun to read it, so Ronald, Just so you know, we are in fact in Starboard, Alaska. He goes on to say, the reason I'm so passionate about this town is because it is the setting of my favorite film that I hope you'll talk about, Deliverance.
So if I'm not mistaken, Deliverance did not take place aboard an Alaskan crabbing vessel, but perhaps our guests have a little insight into why Ronald, probably for a myriad of reasons, is a little bit mixed up in the head.
I believe we have seen this movie, Suresh, Deliverance.
We have seen this.
Yes. Not to be confused with Delivery, which is a movie...
Not to be confused, no.
...is a Bollywood classic about a woman who gives birth 100 times in 1 year.
Great film.
Great film, very inspiring, makes you want a family. Yes, makes me want to be a father.
I can make you squeal like a little piggy, right?
Yes, when you have 100 babies coming out of you.
It seems like a lot of Bollywood movies have to do with like a woman giving birth hundreds of times in a very short span of time. Is there a reason
for
that?
It is a very popular myth in Indian culture to have many babies around. It is a sign of good prosperity. You cannot afford them. No, you can. Can you feed them? No, but you. It is a blessing to have them.
Plus, we must mention the trope of the CG animated baby dance number, which has become very popular for Bollywood films. So, when you talk about having hundreds upon hundreds of babies in a very large dance number, the more dancers, the better in Bollywood, generally speaking.
And then that also was made popular by Ally McBeal, another American sitcom.
Of course.
Yes, Ally McBeal. Oh, Ally McBeal. I mean, you cannot get better looking than that girl. You know what I mean?
Well, Sanjay, I mean, this is a family show, so take it easy, but...
I like her hair.
If I'm not mistaken, Ally McBeal is actually a reboot of... a Bollywood television series. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, this is why in the last democratic election of India, the dancing baby received 45% of the vote. Is not very reported on by the world news. We are not proud of it. People have done worse, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, Sanjay, we should also mention that, this day and age, 2016, the CG on the baby is much better than what you would see in Ally McBeal, though we are large fans of the show.
You cannot even tell it is from a computer. It looks like it has come from a woman.
Straight from the womb.
From the womb. The womb of Ally McBeal. Ally McBeal is actually a translation of a popular Indian name, Narayan. So Narayan McBeal is a famous cow in my village and is very well known, very well respected. And when they launched the show, they came to my town, which started our Bollywood career when the Ally McBeal producers came to research Indian culture. And they said, oh, wow, this is a beautiful cow. And I said, yes, it's my cow. And he said, okay, you're going to name the woman after that. I said, that doesn't make sense, but I like it.
That cow went on to produce several of Ravi Shankar's albums.
Of course.
Wow. Well, so thanks for writing in all the way from Montana. Sorry that we have to dash your dreams, and hopefully we won't be hearing from the state of Montana's chief prosecutor anytime soon. Sanjay, you have the third and final question in front of you, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sorry. You, Sanjay, have the final question.
I was captivated by a fish at the side of the boat. I thought I saw a giant king crab. And I was very captivated, yes.
Oh, there it is. See, Elliot, I love when that happens.
You can understand my distraction, yes. The last question is from me.
Oh, it's actually from you. You've written this question, too.
Yes. Yes. I have written this question, and I have written it seems, in Sanskrit, which is... it's hard for me to read. I think I wrote this before I even moved to America. So I will try to translate loosely.
Okay.
It says here, when you get to America, what is the first celebrity you see stepping off the plane? Because as we understand it, celebrities are in all airports everywhere.
Not inaccurate.
No. See. So what is the first celebrity you will most likely see? in America? And that question is to is to Suresh.
And keep in mind, it seems like you wrote this in 1986, so the
paper's very faded.
The celebrities you were expecting were probably different than modern day celebrities.
Yes, Sanjay, we are very big fans of the show. Sanjay, of course, writing in, he's not wrong about the celebrities in the airports. I believe, did we fly into Anchorage? Who did we see?
We saw Kelly Clarkson.
Yes, of course, Kelly Clarkson. She was pregnant and looked very strange.
Pregnant with hundreds of babies.
Hundreds of babies, undoubtedly, and looked very strange from what we'd seen in her music videos. But we saw Kelly Clarkson, and we said hi. We said, "Have you heard our music?" We have released on Twitter. She said she didn't follow us, but it was just fine. It was a nice experience to meet her.
And Suresh, do you remember the joke that we played on her? Do you remember? We went up to her and we said, "Have you missed us?" And she said, "What? Go away. Have you missed us?"
We were escorted away by security.
And then we go, "City of God!" That is her song, no? "City of God!"
I can't tell if you're speaking in Hindi or English right now, but maybe it transcends language.
These are the butter smooth vocals of my brother Sanjay you can hear on our albums.
It is very hard for me to sing in the Manikin dialect. My true strength comes when I sing the Gregorian lyrics that Suresh comes up with.
Wasn't it true that you guys were actually, I'm recognizing you now from Mumbai Idol.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
Where the bovine judge, Simon Cowell, listens to you sing and judges you.
This was a long time ago, but we didn't go too far on the show, but we received a lot of acclaim and Twitter followers through it.
And previous to that, much spit on the stage. We're spit on.
Rotten vegetables, things like this. But we don't take it too hard because our later albums have been very well received, and we try to forget those days where possible. But still, Kelly Clarkson was great to meet, if only briefly.
Yes, we only hope she can say the same about us.
I don't know what the odds of that are, to be completely honest, but it's very heartening to know that even in somewhere like Anchorage, you could step off the plane and see a true A-lister like Miss Clarkson, as relevant today as she was in the cinematic hit from Justin to Kelly, one of America's finest contributions to international cinema.
Another crab fishing classic.
Yes.
And that was another classic that was based on a Bollywood film, I think.
Yes, yes. The Crabfish, King Crabfish, it is one of the most revered films in all of Indian cinema. In Bollywood cinema, and we had a very small part on that show, and we both played individual crab legs. So you do not actually see our faces, but we are there nonetheless.
I think you guys can easily now be confirmed as triple threats, acting, singing, and of course dancing. Hey, if there was a fourth threat that you could be, and that threat was fishing, you'd be all four of them.
Vince, might I add, for my brother Sanjay, so talented, you might call him a quintuple threat because of his skills with American Sign Language. He learned it in an astounding 3 days and became one of the legendary masters.
Yeah, your listeners can't see this, but Sanjay's actually been signing everything he's said.
Right, there will be a stream on our Twitter of the podcast where you can see Sanjay do all the sign language for the podcast.
I have a very soft spot in my heart for deaf and hard of hearing because I grew up with much earwax in my ears in my early years of my childhood. I could not hear. I could not speak for many, many years. The doctor said I was I was mentally behind. But I blame it on the earwax, and now I am doing pretty well, I would say.
That's why you guys play your music at such a loud decibel.
Yes, mainly so I can hear it, yes. Suresh.
And a lot of critics have said, the first rule of creating music is to not have a lead singer who cannot hear very well himself sing.
Yes, many classics have done this. You might have known Donnie and Cher.
Donnie Osmond
and Cher. They are not thought to be able to hear very well, given their singing ability, which in the eyes of Bollywood is very low.
I scarcely remember where we began to come all the way to hearing about the very brief crossover flirtation between Donny Osmond and Cher.
But Vince, I can tell you where we're going.
Please do, Elliot.
And that would be on another one of our favorite segments, You Can't Do That Here.
So listeners, I'm sure you've read it in some bathroom book throughout your various stays at uncle's homes. Every town in America seems to have these outdated, sort of antiquated laws still on the books that make it illegal or treacherous to do sort of, peculiar things. So, in You Can't Do That Here, we take a little bit of a deep dive into what exactly those laws are in the towns that we're visiting.
So, Sanjay and Suresh, being immigrants here, you probably have different laws in India than you do in America or in Starboard, Alaska. Were there any legalities you guys ran into upon moving here?
Yes, when we moved here, we were quickly and very surprised to find there is a new law that bans the singing of Bollywood songs. We could not believe it. We did not understand why. We thought our music is very beautiful. But that is outlawed on this vessel here.
So how do you practice if you can't play your songs?
Suresh, you might want to elaborate on that.
Yes, we tried to practice in our room. As I mentioned, we played drums very loudly, perhaps to the crew's dismay. But what we do is we try to play our backtracks on headphones at the same time. We say 1, 2, 3, go. That way the music plays in the background, so only our singing is heard loudly. This way they cannot distinguish what we are singing.
Yes.
We've also, unfortunately, as we've mentioned, been wrapped in legal trouble. We've also tried very hard to download illegally episodes of the Friends spin-off Joey starring Matt LeBlanc. And but in India, these are things we could do, but here apparently not.
Yes, Kazam does not work nearly as well in the Starboard as it does in India. And Kazam is also, as you may know, a famous genie in my family's lineage.
So you would go to this genie if you ever wanted episodes of, you know, short-lived sitcoms or music or something.
For example, you would say, Mighty Kazam, can you please deliver to me season 2, episode 4 of Just Shoot Me?
You must go outside. To download an episode of Joey, you must go outside. You must bring scraps of animal fur from a live animal, not dead. You bring scraps from animal, you burn it. Okay, and then you write on a piece of paper.
Sanjay, you forgot to include, you must also in this pyre, you must include a cardboard cutout of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes. You must have at least some part of a Shaquille O'Neal a cardboard cutout. And you go there and you write the server, you write the DNS, you write the HTML, and all the URL and the URL of the file you want to download. It's very simple, okay, just with handwriting. And then you burn it with gasoline, and then Kazam appears and grants you your file in a thumb drive.
So let's say, for instance, that I wanted season 5, episode 4 of Dharma and Greg. Could I pick any animal? Could I pick any part?
Vince and Elliot, we must caution you just through our own experience. Do not try this on American soil. It is illegal here. But if you do travel to India, Dharma and Greg, Joey, Frasier, any sitcom, American sitcoms you can imagine you can get this way.
Yes, and wow. The specific fur of the animal is not that important, but the Shaquille O'Neal cutout is non-negotiable.
I see. All right.
And I feel like if you're looking for Dharma and Greg, that's a completely different sitcom in India. Dharma being, you know, different implications in Buddhism and Hinduism.
Yes, and it's actually called Greg and Dharma. It's very different.
But in that show, Dharma's always, you know, expressing what a free spirit she is. She's a cow.
And Greg has a large sword in this version.
Well, I'm fascinated to learn what the Indian version of Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place might look like. But that is a conversation.
Shockingly, it is the same. Ryan Reynolds is charming and brilliant.
He is a favorite. We love Ryan Reynolds.
We'll have to keep that in mind next time we do an international episode, Elliot.
Yeah, we will. And speaking of international, you know, we've talked about the what is and is not legal, but because we are on a vessel, part of that, I think it's the port bow is technically in international waters, so anything goes over on that side of the boat. Have you guys been over there?
Yes, we have tried our file summoning rituals on the bow of the boat, we found ourselves once again tied up that night.
Yeah, crammed onto this tiny corner of the boat. There's a casino, a strip club, you know, a place where you can buy, you know, cheap rum and other exports.
Yes, yes. It is quite a magical place, the 3x3 area of that boat, for the boat, the bow.
The ropes are more comfortable than you'd think, actually. And I always relish the chance to be so close to my brother. He's so talented. So we don't frown too much upon the tie-up scenarios.
I think that now is as good a time as ever to get out of this segment while we still can, while we still have all our faculties about us before we're lowered into the briny depths.
I completely agree, Vince. We should move right on to a segment we call Did You Know?
Did You Know is our weekly rapid-fire fast-fact trivia segment where we throw tidbits of information about the town that we're staying in back and forth. We know you don't always have time to listen to an entire episode, genius as it may be. So this is your TLDR.
What is that?
It's an internet term, Sanjay.
Ah, we don't have internet. We, like I said, we only use genies to transfer information from one point to another.
Well, it seems like a lot of this episode has been lost in translation, so hopefully we can make these clear enough that both you guys and our listeners can all partake in the fun.
Absolutely. And Elliot, I think you've got the first one for us.
I do. So Suresh, Sanjay, and Vince, did you guys know that it is illegal for certain people who have certain occupations to congregate in Starboard, Alaska?
Well, we already know about the fact that it's illegal to do Bollywood songs. That is mm-hmm. written in red paint on many of the doors here in Starboard. What else are you referring to, Elliot?
So, by a decree passed many years ago, a police officer, a Native American, a construction worker, and a fireman cannot congregate in the same area in Starboard, Alaska, for fear that they might break out in a rendition of In the Navy.
I, you know, far be it from me to critique a town's culture, let alone their bylaws and ordinances, but I wonder what the threat to the public goodness is that a rendition of In the Navy could be. I mean, I'm fairly fond of that song, actually, Elliot.
Well, I'm sure Suresh and Sanjay can speak to this, but, you know, there's a bunch of guys, dudes on a fishing boat. There's already a lot of rumors swirling around. They don't want to promulgate anymore.
That is a favorite song of ours, actually. We have covered that song many times. It was our first breakout single, actually. It was a cover of In the Navy.
And we even passed it off as our own at the time. We said we wrote it. It was somewhat of a rookie mistake, but it was fun.
We didn't know that if you didn't write the song, you could say that you wrote it.
Again, we are very familiar with lawyers.
Yes.
Elliot, I did not know that. I'm glad I did, because I was planning to wear my policeman's outfit out tonight and to go to the 1-foot by 2-foot strip club. So I'm glad that I won't be doing that now. I wouldn't want to wind up in the brig like these two. Am I right?
Yes, we have also been arrested for these laws you speak of. You cannot, apparently, dress up as a bears and pretend to attack villagers when you make port. It is in where we grew up, we played this game many a time. It's called Where's the Bear? And you dress up as a bear and you go into a house and you break all of the glass in the house and you punch the children, you kick the father, it is very fun because everybody gets to do it. But here, everybody has guns, so we were shot at many, many a time when we tried this on American soil.
And very hard to escape when you're on a boat.
I mean, in Alaska, you're in bear country. People think that bears are going to pop out from wherever. So if they see a boat full of bears coming, of course, they're going to be a little upset about
that. Yes, and this reminds me of a very funny story of Suresh. We played this game the first week we arrived. And he mixed me up with, I swear to God, mixed me up with a real grizzly bear. And he lived with the grizzly bear in his den for a week. And he did not know until it tried to start eating him. And then he said, "Hey, Sanjay, quit it out. Quit it out." And I said nothing because I was not there.
Well, Sanjay, in my defense, I learned many great lessons over those days. How to crouch in a stream and hot salmon, how to huddle up together for warmth. Many great lessons, but yes, I did incur some very grievous injuries from this, but ultimately I was reunited with my older brother Sanjay.
And yes.
That was not me.
One of those lessons, if I'm not mistaken, you put to use on your following album, it was how to play the sitar.
We don't know how to play the sitar, but what we do know how to do is we sit and we touch the strings, and what we edit over top is just somebody else playing.
Yes, we also know very much how to use GarageBand loops.
Royalty free and no legal problems for us. One area of our lives we do not have legal trouble with is GarageBand free loops. Wonderful.
And the lessons that Suresh learned will be featured in the newest album. The sounds of the stream, the rubble, the rocks coming down the hill, and of course the sound of a screaming man being bitten into by a 300-pound grizzly bear.
That title is a mouthful, but I'm sure once you translate it into Hindi, it will be...
No, not the title. Those are all the sounds that will be featured.
Oh, those are the GarageBand loops.
Those are the loops.
I see. Makes a lot more sense.
You put them over a dubstep beat and people love it, I tell you. They love it.
And Vince, do you have the next did you know for us?
I do, Elliot, have the next did you know fact. Did you guys know that this boat is actually slowly sinking?
Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that, though. Why is that?
Well, the people aboard the Deadliest Catch vessels have been at, to use the term a little loosely, war, quote unquote, with the cast of Whale Wars for over a decade now, and we recently, just over the course of this episode, sustained a harpoon wound in the starboard side, and we're taking on water.
Well, I'm assuming there's probably some bad blood because Starboard Alaska became incorporated by a town, and other boats think that they are worthy of the same ranking.
Indeed, it's led to a sort of Waterworld-esque attempt to conquer Starboard Alaska. We've got your jet skis, your tiny skiffs, your hydrocopters, what have you, all attempting to land here on the boat. The fact that the Whale Wars team are led by a sort of a rotund, incompetent man means that this has led to the injuries and deaths of a lot of his people. And no, until now, successful attempts to actually harm the town. But it doesn't look like a lot of water coming in. We should be able to get to port, patch it up, and be back on the water in no time.
Well, that's good to know. And that's definitely something I didn't know. I actually wish you didn't tell me that, Vince.
We are very nervous because we do not know how to swim.
Well, then we should hurry up then. Sanjay, do you have the next did you know fact for us?
Yes, of course. Did you know, Suresh and I were once Siamese twins. We were connected.
Really? Wow, I didn't even notice. Where are you guys connected?
The vocal cords. That is why we have such powerful singing voices now.
So allow me to sort of unpack this claim, if you don't mind. You are Suresh's older brother by several years, yet the claim is that you were Siamese twins connected at the throat.
Vince, allow me to clarify. My brother Sanjay, he loves, how do you say, hyperbole. And what he really means is we're very connected musically. Of course, you cannot have an older brother by many years born this way. But what he means is it feels as if we are born as one to create greatness in each and every Twitter GarageBand track that we produce. And that is what he means.
See, that is what art is about, Elliot. It's about metaphor, and it's about poetry.
And about being attached to your brother, skin on skin, blood, share blood, bone touches bone. It is, yes.
Sometimes through doing this podcast, I feel like I'm connected through Vince, through the vocal cords.
It's a true treat to be able to speak with you brothers, as we brothers work to create something great, as you all have created something great with this. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, well, that's
as great, if not greater, than Kelly Clarkson's singles since you have been gone.
Wow. If that's not hyperbole, then I don't know.
That is high praise.
And with that, Suresh, do you have the next did you know for us?
I do, yes. Did you know that a boat can sink incredibly fast with even just a small hole? Just to reiterate, we do not know how to swim. We are very frightened.
Yeah, throughout this segment, we are now knee deep.
The RV and we were parked below deck, so it looks worse than it is, gentlemen. But the call has been made. We're headed back to port. I must admit, I did not know that the hole was big enough to allow large crabs and even a porpoise to flood into the room.
Yeah, now that porpoise is now operating the mixing board. I don't want to tell him what to do, but I'm scared that if we last much longer, he's going to do something to the audio file.
We must ask, do you Americans have another way out? Because they will leave us in the water behind when the rescue boat comes. We are very terrified.
Our RV does have a sort of inflatable raft around its perimeter, a la an episode of Inspector Gadget that I remember. So we should be okay as long as we can get in and out of this last did you know fact. And I think you've got it for us, Elliot.
I do, Vince. Guys, did you know that if you are dressed even slightly like a captain in Starboard Alaska, people will start asking you for advice and direction?
Wow. So I'm glad I did pack some of my outfits then, Elliot.
Well, you may have noticed that while we've been taking out so much water, people have been banging on the doors trying to ask me for help. And that's because earlier this week, I went to a costume shop. It's actually called Fishing for Compliments. And I got a nice thick cable knit sweater, I got a blazer, and I got a hat, and when I walked outside, I got sprayed with some fish guts, and it kind of looks like those little epaulets on my shoulders now. And so people all week have been asking me, you know, where to take their orders, that kind of thing.
Yes, and Sanjay and I can certainly corroborate this, because when we showed up, when we turned up, and even now, we have always dressed in traditional sailor garb, so a white hat, you know, navy blue long coats, rubber boots, things like this. We find it to be very dashing, but yes, people do think we are real captains. Mm. We find it to be an honor.
They say dress for the job you want.
It is very interesting, because when they see that we are captain, they put us on a boat, okay, and they lock all the doors in the captain house, and then they try to sink the boat. And apparently it's a great honor to die as a captain on the boat. We are very honored to be involved in this ritual, but we have escaped drowning multiple times.
I do want to quickly comment on the difference between your renditions of a sailor outfit. Suresh, I see you in a cable knit sweater and a blazer, and you've got a big anchor embroidered on the chest, and you've got these sort of cloth pants in a deep blue, and a bit of a beard even. And here we've got Sanjay in very small shorts, a white button-up shirt with a little ascot that's dark blue, a tiny hat, and you're holding a lollipop.
This is the traditional sailor wear of Mumbai, India. So it is very hot there, and the lollipop is meant to keep the saliva wet and moist in your mouth at all times throughout the day.
Yes, I insisted that Sanjay went with him. More rugged look, like what I've done, but he insisted on this, and you know, I think he looks great, to be quite honest.
And the climate differential from India to Alaska is huge, so I'm surprised that you haven't opted for more layers.
Well, you know what they say, a captain goes down with a ship.
And with that sentiment, I think we should move on to our final segment, Vince.
I agree. It's called Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, we know that you obviously can't journey around physically with us to all the towns we go to. There isn't really much opportunity to go to Starboard Alaska in the coming minutes, so we better wrap this up. This letter goes something like this. Dear listeners, wish you were here in Starboard Alaska.
A large crab fishing vessel that has become incorporated as its own town.
And it's become incorporated by two Indian brothers waiting to make their big musical break. That, of course, is Suresh and Sanjay Radeep.
A town where the water is rushing around from all sides and a starfish has affixed itself to my face. I look sort of like a nautical version of Kesha.
A town where the captain always goes down with the ship.
Farewell. Please save us. Do not leave us on this sinking boat. Thank you.
And these parts to yours.
Guys, thanks for joining us on our maritime episode in Starboard, Alaska. But we hope you join us again next week on land in Zelton, Maryland.
Zelton, Maryland hosts its own World Fair each and every year, though it's not that well attended. But join us. It's going to be great.